Hello, everyone. Welcome to Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to say thank you for watching, for listening, whichever you're doing, and just encourage you to leave a comment to let us know what we can do better. Leave us a review, subscribe, all the things. Those help us to make sure that we're giving you what you need and also helping you to make sure that you remember to watch. So do all those things. That'll be great. So today, I just want to bring us to a passage that I read recently and I found really interesting. I was like, ooh, this is only like three verses long, but there's a lot to say about it. So if you have a Bible out, you can read along. Otherwise, you can listen with me. But we're going to look at Jeremiah 13, verses 12 through 14. Again, brief passage. But before I read it, I do want to set up some of the historical background context, because sometimes when we're talking about things that happened during this Old Testament era of the prophets, it can be hard to remember where we're at. The prophets are not necessarily organized in chronological order in the Bible, so sometimes we have to do a little bit more work to kind of find out what's happening in the narrative and where are we situated right now. So bear with me as we do a little bit of that. So leading up to this point, Israel had been a nation, it was one, it had its kind of its heyday under the rule of King David and King Solomon. That's kind of where it was at its peak, at its apex. But after Solomon's reign, the country devolved into a civil war, and it actually split up into two countries. One country kept the name Israel, and that was the northern kingdom of Israel, and then the southern kingdom split up into its own country, and they called themselves Judah, after one of the tribes of Israel. And so the northern kingdom was just always terrible. They were never good. They were the offshoot that was just like, oh, those are the bad apples. Those are the people that are, they were constantly falling into sin. They were constantly worshiping other gods and worshiping idols and just doing generally awful, awful things. So they were just always doing that. Eventually, they got the attention of Assyria, which was a neighboring empire that was growing in power. And Assyria started thinking, I think we can take them over, so let's do that. And so eventually Assyria did that. They invaded the northern kingdom of Israel, and they defeated Israel. When they did that, they deported most of the Israelites. We also might interchangeably call them the Jews. But they deported all of the Israelites out of Israel to other places. Why did they do that? And this is the beginning of what's known as the exile. You hear that language a lot, specifically when talking about the Old Testament. So why do these other nations, when they invade different countries and cultures in this period of history, why do they deport all the people and then bring in other people? Well, there's a pretty simple answer to that. If you invade a country and you want to hold on to that territory, so when the Assyrians invade Israel and they want to hold on to Israel and keep power over it, if the Israelites stay there, they are very motivated to fight back, to regain the independence of their homeland. However, if you take all the Israelites and spread them over a bunch of other territories, it's a lot harder for them to stay united. And then if you bring other random people from surrounding countries and fill Israel with these other people, they're the people that are there. They can work the land. They can produce economic value for Assyria, but they don't always get along. And so it's harder for them to unite in culture and language to fight back against the Assyrians. So the Assyrians do this in northern Israel, and various empires throughout history have done this when they take over a land. They get rid of the original inhabitants, move in other people so that it's easier to hold on to power and keep the value of the land. So that's what happened in Israel leading up to what we're talking about. And then when we get to Jeremiah, he's a prophet. He's sometimes known as the weeping prophet because he's so depressed about the state of things. Now, he is prophesying in Judah after the fall of the northern kingdom, some years later, quite a few years later, after the fall of the Northern Kingdom. So Jeremiah is in Judah prophesying against Judah, the Southern Kingdom, because they're starting to fall into some of the same patterns that the Northern Kingdom went into with sin and idolatry. And Jeremiah is saying, hold on, this is not cool. We need to stop this, or we're going to go the way of Israel, and we're going to get invaded and deported and go into exile. So we need to shape up and do better. So leading up in the book of Jeremiah, leading up directly before this particular passage, Jeremiah was prophesying against Judah, the nation, and more specifically, Jerusalem, which was the main city, the capital city of Judah. And so we also want to say a little bit about what it means to prophesy. Sometimes prophesying or prophecy is sometimes known as like future telling. But that's not really the main function of prophesying in the Bible. Prophesying in the Bible is more about truth telling. It's about saying what is true. So prophets in the Bible would say, okay, here's what this word of Scripture is. How does what Scripture is saying compare to what is happening in our culture and in our nation right now? And then comparing the two and say, hey, if we're not conforming to Scripture, that's a problem and things are going to go badly. So oftentimes prophesying in the Bible is telling the truth about the state of affairs and saying, this isn't going to go well. There's going to be some bad consequences for these decisions that we're making now. So sometimes there is an element of future telling with prophesying in the Bible, but it's more often a truth-telling function. So that's what Jeremiah was doing. Right before this passage, Jeremiah was talking about Jerusalem and Judah and saying, you guys have a lot of pride. You guys think that you're the best. You think that nothing can defeat you. You think that just everything's going to be fine. And actually, that's not great because you're drifting away from God. You're forgetting that you need God. And you're also worshiping other idols, just like the Northern Kingdom of Israel did. So that's a nutshell of what Jeremiah was saying leading up to this passage that we'll look at. And we'll kind of look at it in two pieces here. So again, we're in Jeremiah 13, and first we'll look at verse 12. And Jeremiah is speaking to the people, and Jeremiah says this. Say this to them. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Every jar should be filled with wine. Then they will respond to you. Don't we know that every jar should be filled with wine? Okay, so when Jeremiah is referring to them, he's referring to all the people of Judah and Jerusalem that he's calling out, and especially the leaders, but he's calling, saying, you know, here's what I'm going to say to them. I'm going to say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, this is what God says, all the jars will be filled with wine. And then they say, well, yeah, of course the jars are going to be filled with wine. That sounds like a good time. When Jeremiah does this, he's beginning a metaphor, but they're not getting it. Jeremiah's like, I'm giving you a metaphor. You will be filled with wine. You as people will be filled with wine. They don't get it. They don't get that he's talking about them as people. The people think that he's literally talking about the jars of wine. Depending on the translation you read, it may also say wine skins instead of like the jars of wine. So the people think that Jeremiah is literally talking about jars full of wine. And that sounds like a good thing to them. They're like, well, yeah, of course the jars will be filled with wine. Like, we're doing great. If the jars are filled with wine, that's like one of the main exports that we do. We have a really great wine or a really great grape growing climate and region here. So wine is a major economic thing. Making wine is important for their economy. So if the jars are filled with wine, that means trade is going to be good. That means their agriculture is going good, which means they probably have good weather for the region. It also probably means they're going to party and have a good time with the wine that they want to drink. So when Jeremiah says to them, this is what God is saying, every jar will be filled with wine, they're like, great, this is exactly what we want. And then we pick up with verses 13 to 14. Jeremiah continues, "And you will say to them, 'This is what the Lord says. I'm about to fill all who live in this land, the kings who reign for David on his throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the residents of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. I will smash them against each other, fathers and sons alike. This is the Lord's declaration. I will allow no mercy, pity, or compassion to keep me from destroying them.'" So very quickly, after the people are like, "Hey, this sounds great. The jars are filled with wine. Why is this a problem?" Jeremiah's like, no. This is a problem because if you're filled with wine, you're drunk, and you're acting like idiots, and you will be destroyed. That is very different from where they thought that was going. It's a very different thing. And he's very specifically calling out the king, the priests, the prophets, and the residents, but he lists the leaders first. And oftentimes, as we know, leaders often insulate themselves from the problems of the people and say that they don't have anything to do with it. But Jeremiah is very specifically calling out everybody, like the king, the political leader, the priests and prophets, the spiritual leaders, and the people. "You're all complicit in this, and you will be filled with wine to the point of drunkenness and acting stupid. And I will smash them against each other." So once they're drunk, what do drunk people do? They make irresponsible and uncoordinated decisions. And they break things. They break people. They do bad things. They will smash into each other, as this says, fathers and sons alike. They will tear themselves apart from within. It's not going to go well. So Jeremiah is basically telling them that their sinful behavior and their idolatry is going to lead them to behavior that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And God will leave them to it and let them destroy themselves. We have to remember that this is happening in Judah, that southern kingdom, and they've had occasional reforms, so they've seen that change is possible. They've seen glimpses of returning to God. They have some of that history, if they've been talking about that history. But if they haven't talked about that history, they may not remember. And over time, they should have seen that Israel, the northern kingdom, fell apart from God, and they experienced really catastrophic circumstances. They were deported. They were invaded. They were taken from their homes. They should also be remembering that, hey, once upon a time, we were a united nation, and as we fell into sin, we divided. We turned on each other, like this says, fathers against sons. We turned on each other, and that changed things. So, over time, that nation, Israel, that once was God's favored nation on earth, that was supposed to be a light unto the world, it fell apart. They tore themselves up from within and behaved like drunken fools to the point where they destroyed themselves. They split. The northern kingdom destroyed themselves. They got invaded. And now Jeremiah is saying, you are on the same trajectory. You are going to be like fools. That's where you're headed. You are like jars of wine, and these jars will be destroyed. It's a very grim thing. I mean, Jeremiah is known for kind of being a Debbie Downer. He's kind of like, wah, wah, this is not going well. But this should remind us that if this was what was happening to Israel, God's favored nation back in the Old Testament, if that's what's happening to Israel, it can happen to any one of our nations today. There is no nation, no culture, not even any church that is completely perfect. Any church, culture, nation, kingdom, empire, company, whatever the case may be, it can fall away from God, or maybe never was close to God, and as such, it may just tear itself apart. And I think we're sometimes seeing examples of that. We see it throughout history. We see lots of behavior that we do not understand. And we say, are you just like drunk here? And maybe that's kind of what's happening. maybe that's God saying, yeah, I'm going to let you be filled with wine, and you're just going to be drunk, and you're going to make bad decisions. You will destroy yourselves. You will tear yourselves apart from within. Biblically speaking, that's an option. We might look around and say, is everyone drunk? And that might kind of be, on a spiritual level, what's happening. That helps us to kind of understand the world, doesn't it? Sometimes when we look around the world and things seem a little crazy, it's like, is everyone drunk? Maybe, on a spiritual level, at least. And I say this not to be discouraging. It may be overwhelming to look around and be like, nothing makes sense. But I say this to help us look at the world through a biblical lens. When we see behavior that is just unfathomable, that is maybe like, okay, you're crazy or drunk or something, there's a reason for that. There's an explanation, biblically. God may be saying, yeah, your jar's filled with wine, and you're destroying yourselves. The Bible says that that's an option for us. So that may seem discouraging, but it can also be an encouragement to repent, to draw closer to God and say, I don't want to be a part of this behavior. I want my behavior to make sense. I want my behavior to be in line with the way that God designed us to live in community. I want to live my life in the way that God designed me as an individual. So I hope it's something that's ultimately encouraging for you. It helps us to understand why everything seems so crazy today. It shouldn't surprise us if we read the Bible. God has seen this all before. God is in control. God can guide us home. So I hope that's some good food for thought. If you have any questions, please let me know. My email address is listed in the description of the episode, so take a look at that, and let me know if you have any ideas of things that you want to cover or if you want to get further into depth of what we talked about today. Thank you for watching and listening. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.